Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
They have an idea that I come in and put like things together and set up systems, which I do, but it's more than that. I wrap my brain around how that person thinks, you know, how what their thought processes are, their decision-making processes, family dynamics are also involved. So it can be, yeah, they might have me come in to clean out a basement or clean out a garage, set up a home filing system, or going to their place of business and set up a template for filing. But not everybody files and thinks the same way, so it's not a cookie cutter approach.
Hey everyone, this is Judy with Wellness Renaissance and the Wellness Renaissance Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Kim Schlichting with Live Simply with Kim is our guest today. And Kim has been helping people organize and simplify their life since 2005 is when she started her business. It was called Northland Organizing back then. And really, if listening to the podcast, you will learn that it is so much more than organizing. And maybe the image that you had that I think I had when I heard of Northland Organizing, which is more the organize your stuff, but didn't take it to the sort of natural, yet to me still surprising, breadth of all of the things that she does and all of the things that she's able to help people with and the support that she gives in helping them live their life. So I'm excited for you to hear this because, quite honestly, I just had no idea. Makes sense when she starts talking about it, but just things that had never occurred to me as to what somebody who helps people organize would do. Because in my mind, I'm like thinking she's going to walk into my house and organize my desk and tell me what to do with my stuff. And as you can hear from the little quote at the beginning, that is what she does with a much broader scope of helping you figure your stuff out in a way that works for you. So if Kim sounds anywhere near familiar to you, you may have read publications that she wrote in the Duluth News Tribune, Women Today, The Budgeteer. She also had a radio segment in 2012 and 2013 on KUMD, so you might recognize her from that, and various workshops and seminars that she has and continues to do. So Living Simply with Kim is really about helping people live with intention as well as living with less and helping people set their priorities, which, you know, is something that can be just a really interesting thing to think about and have help processing through. And throughout our conversation, you're going to get ideas and tips and all that kind of stuff. And she's going to talk about so many different types of benefits that can be gained. Some of it is health and ease and less stress and all that stuff. And she's going to talk about how all of those things connect. So a little bit more about her and a few other things that I just want to mention before we dive in is that Kim has worked with nearly 300 individuals, families, or businesses. So she's also helping people, like she said in the intro, with businesses too, and helping people get things in order and run more efficiently in their workspace. And if you are a listener that is not in Duluth, first of all, there's a lot of concepts and ideas you can definitely pick up from what she's talking about for your own life. Find somebody in your area if you need the things done that she's talking about. But Kim also will work with you pretty much wherever you are. So if you're in Duluth and you're in about a 2-hour radius from here, she will come to you. She has and will do organization over Skype and FaceTime, that kind of thing. She's also willing to fly to you if you want to bring her wherever you are. And she talks about that a little bit, that she has done that with somebody. So keep that in mind if you feel like she could be a huge asset for your world. I want to read you something really quick from her bio that I think really does come across and certainly has to me in the conversations that we've had. Kim says, it's very rewarding to help people when they are overwhelmed and don't know where to begin. Taking away some of the stress of people's lives and some of that weight off their shoulders is an amazing feeling. I can imagine how fun it would be to help people work through some of the challenges and come out on the other end. And with 300 people that she's worked with, she's got a lot of experience and seen a ton of different situations and ways to do things. So what a great asset there too. One of her mottos is use your powers for good. And she has a little Wonder Woman hanging on her keychain. And the skill set that she brings and the passion and compassion and non-judgment that she brings to her work is definitely a gift and a power that she is using for good and to successfully work with her clients. I hope you enjoy the podcast. We had a really fabulous and, as you can tell, a very long and in-depth conversation about the work that she does. So I hope you get a lot out of this and I hope you enjoy it. And listen towards the end. Kim is generously giving away a $100 gift card, Visa gift card, for folks who have listened to the podcast and interact with her on Facebook. So listen for the details on that. And I'm going to share the details on an event coming up. If you listened to the End of Life Doula episode, we were talking about death cafes and the possibility and interest that I had in putting one together. Well, we have all of the details worked out, and I will share that with you at the end. And if you are not familiar with death cafes, I will talk a little bit about what they are as well. Not as creepy as they sound. Without further ado, let's dive into this conversation with Kim. Welcome, Kim. Thank you so much for being here and spending some time telling me about your business and your skills and all the great things that you do.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was so great the way we met and connected that day.
Yes. Yes. So Living Simply with Kim is your business.
Yes.
And I'm excited to have you here because we've had some really good conversations and I was excited to talk to you just from the work that you do, but man, learning about the breadth of what you do and the all-encompassing holisticness of it all is amazing. Do you have a tagline for your business?
I have a few taglines.
Okay.
We have one life, keep it simple. Another, let go and live. And this has morphed over the years too. When I started this business, I needed a name kind of quickly. And okay, Northland. Everything was Northland here. And so it was Northland Organizing.
Aha.
And a few years ago, I'm like, no, this is just stale. This isn't what I do. This is not just organizing. You know, I'm in people's lives. So that's how it morphed into Live Simply with Kim.
Okay. And that's what is exciting, because I think when I first learned about you, my mind thought, oh my goodness, you know, this is somebody I need in my life. There's certain aspects that I'm very organized with, but I could always use some help honing that up. But it is that whole thinking about having somebody come in, look at my space, look at my stuff and organize. And I think of that when I've had other people sometimes try to help. There's this judgment or this, they come in and they do it their way. So in my thing, I'm having somebody come in who's going to do that. But talking to you, and this is what I think is so exciting, is that yes, that is part of what you do, but there's so much more to it. And you have this great, open, non-judgmental attitude and all of these experiences that it isn't just organizing your living room or your garage. It's
right.
Organizing your systems, but it's also...
It's the big picture.
Right.
Yeah. And the end result is the organized space.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many moving parts to it.
Right. That it's not just go home, do this task, or let me help you unpack this box or repack this box or organize this shelf. You told me a story just to get out right in the beginning of how full the work is that you do. You talked about a gentleman who his wife died and he had to like refigure out how to do life because she did the cooking, the cleaning, the paying the bills.
Yes.
And we think of those types of changes in our lives and losses, or just maybe it's just something we're not so great at, but it is about keeping our life organized and simple. So you're doing a lot of stuff here.
I love, love, love it, truly. It's what gets me up in the morning. I'm a doer. I'm a giver. I'm a helper. People say, you know, why do you do what you do? Well, I truly am a helper. And I love that whole help factor. And I love sharing the message of, you know, we don't need all this stuff. We don't need all this stuff as consuming. And here we are in the biggest month of consuming and
right.
gift giving
right.
of stuff. And I did a Facebook Live topic, and the topic was giving an experience instead of giving a thing. So
it was a great video, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, really, what do we need? I think as elementary kids, we learned the four basic needs, you know, food, clothing, shelter, water. I believe that was the four. Okay, so where does this collection of coffee mugs or all these little tchotchkes, where does that come in, you know, in our basic needs?
Yeah.
So that's a message that I like to share.
Right. And it's interesting too, because I think it's helpful to process through some with somebody else sometimes and have somebody asking those questions and not just your family member asking those questions.
Right.
You're feeling very defensive. Don't take my coffee mugs.
Right.
How could you do this to me? You
right.
Know?
Or someone feeling guilty. Well, Aunt Mary gave me, you know, such and such. And if I let that go or re-gift it, maybe, you know, I'll feel guilty. And I tell people, you know, gifts aren't wrapped in a ribbon of guilt. They're gifting it out of love. And yes, and maybe it's not your particular taste anymore, or it never was, possibly.
Right.
And someone else in our community can use that coffee mug. There's women that leave in the middle of the night in an abusive relationship that have nothing.
Right.
And so then I connect people's things to charities and organizations in the area too. So somebody can use that and don't feel bad about it.
Somebody might love that beautiful coffee mug that they now have one happy thing in their world when they drink their morning tea.
Exactly. Yes. And if it's something you cherish, then why is it under your bed collecting dust bunnies? You know, if it's a box of memorabilia, then you should honor it. Frame that, whatever that thing is. I know years ago we framed my husband's grandfather's, his watch, his pocket watch. Well, we didn't frame it. We actually just displayed it on a little hanger, you know.
Oh, neat.
On one of our bookshelves. And yes, you can find interesting ways to display those things that you love.
Yeah. So let's step back and talk about just kind of how you got into the work that you're doing. And then let's go into a little more of what that looks like. What do you help people with? Big, small, work, home, kind of just give people a real idea of the broadness of what large or small that somebody might utilize your...
Sure. I guess when people think of the term or the job professional organizer, they have an idea that I come in and put like things together and set up systems, which I do, but it's more than that. I wrap my brain around how that person thinks, you know, what their thought processes are, their decision-making processes, family dynamics are also involved. So it can be, yeah, they might have me come in to clean out a basement or clean out a garage, set up a home filing system, or go into their place of business and set up a template for filing. But not everybody files and thinks the same way. So it's not a cookie cutter approach. So I spend a lot of time asking questions. Well, what would make sense to you? And I have some clients that are very visual, that if they put things away, they're afraid they're going to lose them or forget where they put them. And so we come up with, okay, well, what would make sense to you? Would you alphabetize that if we're talking about files? Would it? Oh, I had a client years ago. He alphabetized everything, like I for iTunes, his iPod, all of the paperwork that came with his iPod. And instead of maybe home electronics or household electronics, you know, it had its own separate file, you know, under I. And that's fine. So we just had a gazillion file folders for him because it just made sense for him to look for it there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I pride myself in wrapping my brain around how that person thinks and how they organize or want to organize, where they might look for that piece of XYZ. Helping, oh my gosh, I've done everything from junk drawers to chronic disorganization cases, hoarding situations. I've been called in as to be a mediator, so to speak, you know, between the family and then the person that's in the hoarding. Property managers call me and say, hey, I've given this person several chances. Now they've got 30 days to clean up, or they, you know, they get booted out. So then the family members get involved and we work as a team. But that's a whole other podcast, probably.
but it's interesting to know that that's another piece of what you do.
Yeah, because intervention.
Right. Yeah. You might not think, I in the process of cleaning out my mother-in-law's house, it would not have occurred to me to hire somebody. But boy, I can tell you how many times, if we just had somebody else just come in, you know. But right. it doesn't necessarily occur to you almost to take that action or ask somebody, okay, how can you help us in this situation? What would this look like if you helped us?
Yeah. Yeah. And so often it's, you know, sitting down with the person or the couple, then the family members, and having just a real heart-to-heart talk. And a lot of it truly is about, most of it is about safety. And is there a safe path to the bathroom, to the bedroom, to the kitchen? Are there expired food in the cupboards and in the freezer and refrigerator? And if it's expired, you shouldn't be eating it. The food shelves aren't going to accept it, then you shouldn't be consuming it. So it's all about safety, truly, in those hoarding situations. And fire hazards, obviously, you know, if things are blocked, you know, the heating registers or the radiators or the electronics or whatever is blocked, mm-hmm. then that mm-hmm. creates a fire hazard. So there's a lot involved with the hoarding situation. And
Right. And
I come in and just calmly talk, and I don't want to heighten the already uncomfortable situation. So I come in, you know, real relaxed, and we talk it through, and sometimes they're on board and sometimes they just fight. Get in my face. I've been yelled at. I've been sworn at and spit at.
Wow. Well, who thought being an organizer would be such a tough job?
Oh, my gosh. But, you know, and I just say, let's call the person Mary. You know, Mary, I'm here to help. And if you want to stay in your home, this is what we have to do. And so they'll come around in anyway.
Wow. So, interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I know in our conversations, we've talked about your background a little bit is in art.
Yes. Yeah. I joke with people, this is not what I went to college for. It's not my bachelor's degree in organizing. So, yeah. So I've got this Bachelor of Fine Arts, and I taught private art lessons. I sold some original pieces and prints. I still have some prints that every now and then I'll put on Craigslist or put on Facebook. But fun. Yeah, so I've got a background in watercolor and drawing, and I love it. I wouldn't trade that for the world, that college experience, for sure.
Oh, for sure. I'm just, you know, I'm thinking of how that partially interplays with all of what you're doing, because really it what does. You are doing is, it's an art form.
Yeah,
it's
thank
a very
you.
Complex art
thank
form.
Thank you. I think you and I, on one of our first conversations, you said, well, that's really creative counseling. It's really creative hands-on counseling with people. And it is. It's, yeah. I wear a lot of different hats. Cheerleader, therapist, marriage counselor, handholder, problem solver, thinker of outside of the box. I do a lot of problem solving with people. And if I don't have the answer, I know somebody who does. And mm-hmm. so I get on the phone and make things happen. A lot of times I'm project manager for my clients. Mm-hmm. And that is like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. I don't have to worry about any of that anymore. You can find a home for this, or find out who can fix this is another of my clients' issues, is they've got a collection of things that need to be fixed or mended, and they just don't know where to start. Right. But I love, every day is different. Every client is different. We're as different as our fingerprints, for sure.
And I love too, the kind of like you're talking about the therapy piece and the psychologist piece in a sense that kind of comes into that.
Exactly.
Yeah. The whole creative therapy. It's when you go to a therapist, you sit in the office, you mm-hmm. talk, and you get given sometimes an action plan or a thing to do.
Right. You're given homework.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is great. And that's necessary, or can be very necessary. Mm-hmm. But you're boots on the ground. You're like, okay, right. Now let's actually, you're helping the people do it. And so many times that is what we need.
Yeah.
We can talk about it with somebody and we can even gain that understanding of, okay, this is how this is going to work, or this is what I need to do. But to have somebody there to help you think through things, have another set of eyeballs that isn't invested and isn't judgmental, then you don't have to, you know, you can sort of say, look, I really know that this seems silly, but this thing is really important, or this is why I do it this way. So
right.
The emotions I can imagine can be less intense and less defensive because they have to be nice to you perhaps a little bit more.
You know? Well, and it just, I mean, anything is more enjoyable when there's someone else
Yes. There
doing it with you, to give it a broad statement. But that's truly why I do what I do, Judy, is the psychiatry and the psychology of it. Because it's, most of the time, it's never about the stuff. It's the emotional attachment that we have to in that stuff. It's the family dynamics. It's, you know, who's in charge in the house? Is it mom? Is it dad? Are the kids on board? You know, are they working as a team? Or is it a single person and they're doing it all themselves? And how can that person delegate, and how can they, you know, simplify and prioritize? So it's so much more than organizing. It's really helping people set their priorities and finding out what's important to them. And I ask my folks all the time, you know, if they've got all of this stuff, you know, how really do you want to spend your time? Do you want to spend your time looking for things? Do you want to spend your time maintaining all of the stuff that you have? Maybe the large home, the large yard, the 3-4 vehicles, the boat, the cabin, you could just go on and on and on with all the toys and things that, and gadgets that we have. We think we're simplifying our lives when we bring some things into our lives, but it just creates more on our to-do list, more on our maintenance on the weekends. You know, what do you want to do on the weekend? You want to be with family and friends? You want some self-care time? Or do you want to maintain your stuff in your house? And
right. Or that cabin.
Or the cabin.
I've heard multiple people say, well, I went to the cabin twice this year. Once to open it up and once to close it down.
Right.
You know, and so our lives are shifting and changing. And that's the, I can imagine that's another piece of when you're taking that step back with people, of asking those questions and helping people think about it. It is the, are you not spending time at the cabin because you're spending time doing something else that's important to you and that cabin is drifting a little bit? Or is the cabin really where you want to be? And then how do you make that happen?
Right. Yeah. I tell folks, you know, let's let go of the stuff that no longer serves you, even if it's the job that you're doing. The people in your life, the commitments, the so-called commitments maybe that we have after work. Maybe we're on a board of directors or on a volunteer, but that just doesn't trip our trigger anymore. You know, it's just not as important or soul nourishing as it may have been in the beginning. So let's let that go. And really, then that opens up time. That opens up room and time to do the things that you love. So yeah, and that's another one of my taglines, that's, you know, spend your time doing what you love and delegate when you can. If you can, the Facebook Live video for the holidays was, you know what? It's okay if you drop by the bakery and pick up a pie, you know, who's going to remember that you didn't spend 2 hours at home, you know, making that pie. And if they're going to give you grief about it, then that's their issue, not yours. So, you know, push the easy button. It's okay.
As I'm one of those people who are like, you didn't bring that favorite thing of mine that you...
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But that's another piece too. When I think of, like, I know I remember a conversation with my mom years and years ago when she finally had the realization that nobody really eats the sugar cookies. So why are we making that good? Yeah. Okay. Let the sugar cookies go, because really I want your divinity and I want your fudge.
Right. Right.
And I want your bonbon cookies.
Put in your order. And
if you want to ditch those, they're fun to frost, but we're not eating them.
Right.
So we're throwing them away multiple years in a row. So it is that sometimes, what are you holding on to because it's that tradition of making that thing?
Just because you've done it for X amount of years or decades doesn't mean you have to do it this year.
Right. No, that's true. As hard as it can be for the receiver end. But it is true.
Yeah, another one of my favorite phrases I tell folks is, just because you can doesn't mean you have to. You know, just because you can fix that gadget or or just because you can. Like this fall, we hired a wonderful crew to clean our windows. You know, we bought this little house this summer and time was running out. You know, the weather starting to get cold and we just didn't get to the windows yet. And I'm thinking, you know, it's going to take us probably all weekend to do these windows inside and out. So I hired this crew. They were done in and out in 3 hours, wrote the check, boom, done.
Wow.
So yeah, just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless you take joy in whatever that is. You know, yes, I do love making Christmas cards every year. I will. So I won't ever really buy a box of cards.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's that joy.
It is. And it's the joy that I find in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, this just popped up in my head as you were talking about kind of thinking about our priorities and time and how we spend our time and boards and professional things like that sometimes. Do you ever like work with somebody where it is a very intense time crunch? Like say they're starting a business or opening a business or whatever. And so there are very intense time pressures. But sitting down and kind of backing up and figuring out how to work that time or how to organize that time or themselves in the time. Is that
I'm glad you brought this up because, yes, there have been times when people call me up and I do, and I need to promote this more, is that I really help folks sort out their thoughts and come up with a timeline. And we'll meet at a coffee shop. And we'll just do some brainstorming and set out, okay, what are the have-tos? And set out that timeline. Okay, well, this has to be done. I'm starting this business and these are the things that I have to do. And where can I delegate or where can you delegate? Yeah, so that's fun. That's fun helping people sort out and figure out their timeline as far as maybe it's an event they're holding, but I did help a young entrepreneur open a business and it was great. It was a feel good for me and a feel good for him that I was part of his team that, you know, he would call me and bounce things off of me. And yeah, so it's more than organizing the stuff in your surroundings. It's organizing the thoughts in your head as well.
Wow, you do everything.
It's so fun. I love it so much. I truly love it so much.
What a gift. I mean, really, what a gift, because this is the thing that so many of us need in our lives. And yeah.
Thank you.
It's such a great thing. Yeah. And to have the well-roundedness that you have with this is amazing. I want to get back to even kind of the simple stuff.
Sure.
If somebody was like, okay, maybe they need a lot more organization in their life. Like they recognize that I could use this, but if they want to start,
they're a hot mess, basically, right?
Exactly. but they're like, okay, I don't know what I think about this, or I don't know how this would work. Or I don't know how much money this is going to cost me. I just want to start small. Let's talk about, first of all, what does it look like if somebody just calls you and says, help, and where do I start? And two, kind of talk about some of those maybe smaller things that people might chunk off or get one aspect of their life in order. I can imagine that it's tricky to do that. Like once you start that ball rolling, you start to do other things, right? Like
sure.
One thing happens and then it grows. But the whole, okay, I've just got this. I think I just need help organizing this, or I just need help organizing my desk.
Yeah. Yep. So it is hard when somebody is at the overwhelmed state. You know, they're stifled. They don't know what to do, so they don't do any of it. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, close the door or, you know, ignore that space or that area in their home. Simple systems, even, you know, I'm just thinking this just popped up into my head. Just the things that we need in order to get out the door in the morning. Okay, where are your car keys? Where's your cell phone? Where's your pocketbook, your laptop, whatever you need for that next day? You know, have that ready. Have that at the ready. You know, have a home for your keys, a home for your cell phone. Where's the briefcase? What am I going to wear the next day? When we talked about, was it Mark Zuckerberg, you know, that just wears the same thing every day, you know, because he doesn't want to think about it. He doesn't want to make those decisions. So we don't have to go that extreme. But, you know, planning ahead. And when people, you know, are at that overwhelmed state, I say, okay, do you want to start small? We can start with a junk drawer. We can start by just clearing off a kitchen counter, or clearing off the dining room table. And I love to do it in a clean sweep, Judy, to get that instant gratification. Just throw it all into the box, take the box into another room, sit, you know, and I'll sit with the person, whatever was on that table. It could be your kids' toys. It could be leftover food from the night before. It could be just random things, you know, sometimes end up on our horizontal surfaces. Mm-hmm. And so you find, you know, homes for that. But gosh, you know, then, you know, we wipe it off and maybe set a centerpiece or something to say, oh my gosh, look at how lovely this is. Instant gratification. Or I say to them, okay, is it that what in your home or workspace, what is it that bothers you the most? And let's start there so you can see some progress. So you can see that we have had, you know, that we've taken a chunk out of that. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. So they can see that progress. And really, they just needed a little bit of handholding and coaching to just lift up that first box. Mm-hmm. And another thing about, you know, people ask me, well, how long is this going to take? Well, it all depends on your decision-making process, how long this is going to take. If somebody sees a box and they know that they haven't opened it in over a year or 10 years, possibly, they're like, oh, I know what's in that box. I don't need that anymore. And that box is gone. Mm-hmm. Another person might say, open up the box and there's memorabilia, there's photos, there's papers that they hadn't looked at. Maybe they did a clean sweep once, you know, just because somebody was coming over, but they haven't looked in that box. Unopened mail could be. So then that box might take an hour, might take 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to judge until I know their thought processes and how their decision making comes along. It depends. I did a workshop once and all women came and everybody dumped out their pocketbook. I said, everybody just dump it out on the table. And but there you go. Then they went home with a nice, neat pocketbook, you know, just snotty Kleenexes and old receipts and gum wrappers and candy wrappers and yeah, and things that maybe it was interesting what everybody had in their
it's amazing what we end up in the bottom of our purses. I know I was at a thing at the state fair. This was so many years ago.
Oh,
and the
I
DJs
love the state
were doing
fair.
A scavenger hunt with what people had in their pockets and their purses.
Oh, yeah.
And they asked for stuff. It was awesome. But I'm like, well, if you'd ask for a concert ticket stub, I've got that. If you'd ask for, I was like, oh, I can, this is going to be awesome. Because I was totally having one of those, yep, everything's been dumped in here kind of days.
Right.
Yeah.
Like years ago, let's make a deal, you know. Yeah. They'd ask for these random things. And I've become that person that people, if I'm in a meeting with a group of people and they need a highlighter or a pen or some random thing, hey, Kim, can I borrow, you know, you got such and such. And I joke with people that I'm like Mary Poppins. I can pull a large umbrella out of my, you know, or a large coat hanger, coat rack or whatever, out of here, out of my pocketbook. I've got everything you need right here.
That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Somebody calls you and then you just kind of like dive in, just see where the starting with an assessment of where we're,
sure,
we're at. I mean, is that kind of how that works?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And we start with the phone call, obviously, or maybe somebody will even, like the other day, I just got a text message from this random number. You know, I picked up your business card. I'm downsizing, moving, minimizing, you know, within the next year. Can you give me a call? So it starts with, you know, a few basic questions over the phone. What projects do you have in mind? What is the task at hand? And then it grows into, okay, what's your timeline? If you have a project that needs to be done or you're wanting it to be done, like let's say in the fall, people would like to park their car in their garage by the time the snow falls. So that's a time, something that has got to do with the weather and if we're going to get to that garage before the snow falls. So it starts with a few questions over the phone. And then I say, okay, I can do an on-site consult too, to come see. So we can meet face to face and I can walk through the spaces and you can show me what, you know, what and where those problem areas are. Or I can just come. We can just pass up that on-site consult and I'll come with my boxes and bags and or filing things, whatever the project is, and we'll just dive right in. And a lot of times people are just ready. They're just ready to dive in. Or I'll just include the consult in with take a tour. And then, okay, let's decide where to start. So,
and here's one thought that I have. If I were to have you come to my house, and boy, would that be awesome.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it, Judy.
And I'm thinking,
it'll be fun. I promise.
I don't doubt it, actually.
I promise.
I can think of one of the concepts that you and I have talked about is, of course, the whole having a home for everything, which I love.
Yes.
And I live in a fairly, small little apartment. And I know that is my thing. It's having the right place, right things, right? So let's just say you were working with me and you were like, oh, there's this great thing Target has that would really organize the shenanigans out of this stuff.
Right. Yep.
Is that like, how far do you take that? Or does it depend on the person? Would we go to Target, pick it up? Would you help me hang the thing on the wall?
Absolutely.
Like, all of that stuff.
All of that. Yes, okay. Yes, and yes.
Okay.
And first, what I tell people is let's go through the things. Don't purchase any organizing gadgets or bins or drawer organizers until you find out what's left after you have purged, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Then we'll find a system. And a lot of times you don't have to spend a lot of money. Even little checkbook boxes make great drawer organizers,
Or I little, love them.
Yeah. Or little Tupperware containers, that we have. So you don't have to go and spend a boatload of money on organizing things. But yes, I've been asked to help shop for those things and put them in place. I've even helped rearranging furniture. The flow here just doesn't work. And rearranging kitchen cupboards and kitchen drawers. Why are you stepping way over on the other side of the kitchen, when you're unloading the dishwasher? Things should be within reach. And, setting things up like a well-oiled machine. I use that phrase a lot. So,
and it's sometimes it's those weird habits we get into.
Oh, for sure.
Or it's always been this way.
right.
Oh, and you said something earlier that I want to get back to. You were talking about the whole going through old boxes and finding envelopes and old mail. And I'm thinking, partially due to our conversations that you've had, that this is another thing that I just think is so intriguing is, like you said, I'm in people's underwear drawers and I'm in their financial statements.
Yeah.
The trust relationship that you create and build and the non-judgment to be able to do those things, to be able to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is pretty huge. So I think it's interesting, again, that sort of holistic aspect where we're talking underwear drawers and we're talking financials. Mm-hmm. The financial pieces in part of organization. Talk about sort of the disadvantages or the costs of not being organized and what that can look like in all aspects of our life. But I'm thinking the financial piece for some people, that's huge, having that little assistance of geez, this bill always gets paid late, or whatever the case might be, what's going on here, and to be able to think of, help somebody think through those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it is very intimate. I'm just going to comment on that first. Mm-hmm. What I do is very intimate with people. Yes, I'm in their underwear drawers. I'm in their financial statements. And if I'm at their place of business, an attorney's office, I see lots of names. And, in this community, I'm going to know some of those people, right. And I'm going to know some of those connections. But there is confidentiality. What happens with Kim stays with Kim, like what happens in Vegas. So we can, and I've got documents if the person feels strongly about, me bringing a contract and them signing it and me signing it, I will most definitely do that with them. But yeah, so the cost of disorganization. So you brought up a late bill. We talked about that. So there's a fee involved in your late fee. So there's that cost, whether it's $35 credit card fee or your department store credit card, there's that cost. There's also the cost that, say, you're late with your mortgage, and that's going to affect your credit score if you're late with that payment. There is the cost of So blame comes in with, you know, again, talking about the family dynamics. Well, you were late on that, you know, blah, 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 you know, and so there's blame and resentment. And then that person feels bad about themselves. Shame, sadness, anxiety, depression, all of those things come into play when there's a chronic disorganization involved and emotional drain on people. Relationships suffer.
And it doesn't have to be just financial.
No.
I mean,
no,
in the whole, you know, yep. when you've lost your set of keys and for the fourth time in the house and you've had to change all of the locks or whatever the case might be.
Right, right.
You know.
Yeah, or that pile of stuff that's in the bedroom, you know, why haven't you taken care of that? Or why haven't you fixed, you know, X, Y, Z, this? Oh, when you're at the workplace and your boss is pressuring you to, you know, finish a project or get a hold of someone and you can't find that person's contact information, or you're late on preparing this PowerPoint, you know, you're late to a meeting because you lost your notes from the last meeting. So there's, you know, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your boss's time and productivity. It's all about, yeah.
How many of us are more organized at work than we are in our own spaces?
Absolutely. Yeah, I see that a lot.
I have a way better desk set up in some of my past jobs than I do in my house. So you have the file drawers, it's interesting how that works.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yep, absolutely. Or it's the other way around, you know, their house is very organized and neat and tidy, but their workspace is, whoa, how can you, you know, how can you find things?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Then maybe we can talk a little bit about health and the mindset of our mental health when it comes to our organization. And, you know, you've touched on that. And just taking that stress away is such a huge thing. And not having those stress hormones running through your body when you can't find the keys, that consistent feeling of not finding something or whatever the case, or just that mess that's in the corner or that stuff you have to deal with, you don't even know how to tackle it because it feels like this huge beast in the room or behind a closed door or whatever.
Right.
And we carry that in our body every time we look at it or it gets brought up.
Yep. Oh, we sure do. It's a huge weight. And that phrase, out of sight, out of mind, doesn't work. It doesn't work. It is on your mind. It does weigh on you. The things that are in the basement or the pile of unmade decisions, I call it. And yeah, so that does weigh on us. And every time we walk by it, we feel bad about ourselves. And there are there are clear studies that, you know, a clear space creates a clear mind. And when you tackle those things on your to-do list and, you know, get rid of, or not really get rid of, but address those issues and address those piles. I know that there's a connection with our liver, actually, a cleansing. I read something just recently about clearing the clutter also helps with cleansing your liver. I mean, it's all connected. Everything is energy, and everything has energy, and the cells in our body react to the mess in our surroundings, basically, what it boils down to. So the less is more, obviously, in those types. This is the Wellness Renaissance. And this is why I'm here, because your health truly is, your mental health and well-being is truly affected by your surroundings.
A friend of mine who every time he cleans his office, it's the, oh, I need to remember how this feels. I need to remember how this feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when it gets cluttered again, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. Clean it up. Oh, you have to remind me how good this feels.
Exactly. I know I did a talk with the chamber here about, you know, at your workplace and in your desk. Take that last, whatever it's going to take. If it's going to take 15 minutes, a half an hour, maybe it's going to take an hour to clear your desk. But make sure that you make that effort at the end of the day, because when you arrive in the morning, you're going to feel so much better starting your day with things in order than leaving them in disarray.
Right.
So whether you've got to set an alarm on your phone or a timer on your desktop, start making it a habit to do that. You're going to feel a lot better. Maybe you've heard of doing something 21 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And after you've done those 21 days, it's more apt to become a habit after you've done that repeated thing. And it is. It's all about habit and routine and scheduling. And we all thrive on all of those things.
Even when we resist it.
Even when we resist it. Yeah.
One thing I want to just kind of come back to, just because this keeps sticking in my mind. Let's talk about clothes. Organization or mindsets around our clothes, sure. Or letting some things go.
Right. I have folks that hold on to clothing items. Maybe there's an emotional attachment. There's a memory involved with, oh, I wore that to this event, you know, even right. If it's an old prom dress that somebody might right. Be hanging
or,
on
or
to.
Or where you met your current partner.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the, that, you yeah. Were wearing that the first night you went on your first date.
Right, right. But are you going to wear it again? You know, is it, it's taking up space in your closet. And then there are folks that hang on to, okay, well, I want to lose 10 pounds or I don't want to have to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe when I lose that 10 pounds. Well, how long have you been holding on to that? You know, and I try really hard for a sense of humor and having people laugh at themselves, you know, and something that might be from the 1980s, you know, with the shoulder pads in it. And yes, it might be a size 8 or 10 and you're a size 12 or 14 right now, but do you really want to wear that again?
if you're waiting to get back into the yeah, bell bottoms, you
forget
can probably
it.
Let them go.
You can let that go. So, and another thing, you know, then every morning you look in the closet and you see those things that you don't fit in and it makes you feel bad about yourself. And so you don't need that reminder. So when you do lose that 10 pounds, go out and buy yourself something new, you know, celebrate that. And then just very, very simple ways to organize a closet. I like personally organizing by color. So all of my black things are together. All my white things are together. All my jeans hang and I hang everything. The only things that don't hang are my jammies and workout clothes, you know, and my underwear drawer. So everything else is hung. Pull it out of the dryer and hang it right then and there. And then you don't have to worry about ironing. So hanging things, I can't remember. Maybe it was, and she didn't come up with the system, but I think Oprah had someone on that said, when you wear something, you know, turn the hanger the other way. Then by the end of 6 months or whatever, or that season, okay, what didn't I wear this summer? You know, what didn't I wear? Oh, okay. Cause everyone has those go-to items, you know, and then we've got all this extra stuff in our closet. So be mindful of really, what are you wearing? And boy, oh boy, again, getting back to charitable organizations and guys and gals that can and would be very, very appreciative mm-hmm. of some of those things that are just collecting dust in your closet. So,
right.
And yeah.
Depending on, you know, wherever somebody is listening to this, there are those organizations that really do need, and they need good stuff. I mean, I think of in
exactly.
Duluth, we've got organizations that they get clothes for people to go on their job interviews.
Exactly.
Well, man, yep. if that, you know, jacket or dress or whatever is in good shape.
Yep.
And you can let somebody else shine in it.
Exactly.
What a cool thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's a win-win. The person that's receiving it wins and the person that gives it is a winner as well.
Mm-hmm. And it feels good to get some of that stuff out of your closet. Like you say, even
the cleansing.
whether it's the clothes you want to get back into or the clothes that is too big because you've left it. It feels
right.
So good to be just like, oh God, I don't have to deal with that annoying pair of pants anymore.
Right, right.
And consignment shops too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
Another option if you need the extra cash
yeah,
from
absolutely.
It, you know, it
yep.
certainly is available.
Absolutely. When I start working with folks and they'll tell me, well, I don't have time for such and such. And I say, you know, well, we all have 24 hours and how are you using that time? How are you prioritizing? You know, well, you know, I don't have time to organize or I don't have time to exercise or I don't have time to go visit grandma. Well, you're not making it a priority. So it's not important to you. Bull honky is a good word I like to use, you know, well, bull honky, you do have time. You're just not, you're just not making it a priority. And when you do take the time to organize and clear off your desk, it's all about productivity, whether it's in your kitchen or at your place of work. It's all about how to be more productive. So taking that couple hours or a weekend to clear out some clutter in your house is really going to go a long way in the end. And getting back to less is more, the less that we have, the less that we have to maintain and the less that we have to organize. Mm-hmm. So I really push living with intention. When we are out and about and walking through whatever department store, or let's say it's even Target or, you know, wherever, really, you know, do I need this in my life? I mean, just because it's on the sale rack and it's a deal, you know, oh, I saved, you know, X amount of dollars on that. But is it really adding value to your life? And again, the living with intention and surrounding yourself with things that enhance who you are, enhance the space that you live in, you know, surround yourself with the things that you love and that you use and that are beautiful. It's living with intention, you know, just really taking a moment before you make that purchase. And when you're going through your clothes closet, I'm going to come back around to that. You know, you're looking at this outfit, maybe that you would really like to wear again, or maybe a stack of things that you haven't worn, but you're really afraid to let it go because you know, someday, and if we can come back to those someday things, would you, you know, if you were out at a store, would you purchase this again? I tell folks, you know, have things in your closet that enhance who you are, that make you feel good when you look in the mirror. You know, they enhance your figure. Oh my gosh, I look like a rock star today. Woo, I feel good. And if it's some frumpy something, then it needs to go. Of course, we want our frumpy relaxation clothes and our shirts that we wear when we're painting or doing chores around the house. But you really just be mindful of what you're putting on your body. Because when you feel good on the outside, you feel good on the inside.
It's amazing how much that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Coming back around to a cost of disorganization, I can't tell you how many times I have come across identical things. For instance, I helped a guy organize his workshop years ago, and we found 9 hammers because when he couldn't find one, he would run to the hardware store and purchase another one. Mm-hmm. And it can be whatever that is, you know. I know personally, I have lost my Bluetooth. And it's been 3, 4, 5 days. You know, where did I put that thing? And yes, it does have a home when I'm not wearing it. But for whatever reason, I got distracted. Maybe a little bit of ADD happened. Well, then I am, boom, I need my hands-free thing. I'm talking all the time with people and I need to be hands-free. So I ran out and grabbed another one for $100 and some. So yeah, the cost of losing things and the cost of disorganization. You know, if you lost it and you can't find it, you're going to go out and buy another one. Talking about the things again that are in our surroundings, and I'll bring up, you know, does this enhance your life? I'll ask my client, or is this an asset or is this a liability? Does this enhance your life or make you feel bad? And this works with the things in your home, and it also works with the people in your lives. You know, does this person enhance my life or does this person make me feel bad? The assets and liabilities. So try to fill your home and your life with those assets, those things that enhance you. Right. Again, living with intention.
It's an interesting thing in thinking about that, the whole concept of like people.
Right, right. And I talked about that on my most recent Facebook Live. You know, here we are, the holiday season, and we're bringing families together. And yes, we love our families, but you know, a lot of times we don't like them. We don't like what they do. We don't like what they say. We don't like what they stand for, whether it's political or whatever it is. And my advice is just, you know, you don't have to spend time with the folks that bring you down. You don't have to. And take the high road, you know, bite your tongue. I tell people to take the high road. The view is so much better from the high road. Oh, I wanted to bring up too, helping folks baby boomers right now are, there's a number out there. I think it's like 80 million baby boomers out there right now downsizing or needing to downsize. That's a good portion of who my clients are the folks that maybe have been in their home for 50 years and married for, you know, 50 years and not dealt with the stuff in their home. And there's a really cute cartoon image of this older gentleman and his son, an adult son, let's say that the son is maybe even 60, and they're at the front of a garage or the front of a storage unit, you know, and the caption underneath is, "Someday, son, all this will be yours." Right? So I'm helping, you know, those families, whether it's the couple and they're doing it themselves, or let's say mom and dad have passed away and, you know, the family is dealing with a household of stuff that mm-hmm. hasn't been gone through in decades. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm helping with those things too. And the downsizing, helping that couple, whether they're downsizing within their home or if they are moving to, let's say, an apartment or a smaller home, maybe a condo, or maybe if it's even assisted living or independent living in a senior facility, or drastically, maybe it's, you know, one of the partners is going into memory care and the other one is going to live on campus, so to speak. And they're trying to decide, you know, what do we take to this next new space? And I helped a couple, they had 5 or 6 kids and they still were in this home. She was a teacher and had a lot of her things that she had, you know, she was an elementary teacher. You know, they had we had a moving sale for them. And I even went to their new space, to their condo, and measured. We measured all the rooms to make sure the furniture was going to fit. And she had a baby grand piano and she loved her piano. She played it every day. And that was going to go. That was going to fit no matter what. So, and I pride myself, we did make it fit because that was her life.
Right.
You know, every day, you know, yes. She played and played and played that, and she needed it to be at her next space. So, helping folks settle into their new digs, so to speak. Yeah.
Well, and it's an interesting thing, you know, like you say, there's the trend of the baby boomers letting go of things, you know, and simplifying. And then there's the trend that certainly the folks who are like, nope, that's not going to happen until this is all of mine until I die.
Right.
Just from my personal experience with my mother-in-law and even just seeing things with my mom, for instance, my mom, she collected this set of dishes from Avon and I don't think she ever used them in her entire life.
Right.
And my sister happily got the entire set because partially my sister's the one with the big house and has the space for it and uses them.
Yeah.
Holidays. And it's fun. And they're, you know, they're special and it's different and it's pretty and it's great. It's like, okay, perfect. But it's sad that my mom never got to use them.
Right.
You know, but I'm thinking too, the process of going through your things with your family can be such a beautiful connection and getting to learn about them.
Yes.
You know, we encouraged Joel's mom to do that before she died. And she had cancer. And so, you know, there's a lot of other pieces that are happening. And some people will embrace that. And some people are not going to embrace that. And everybody's got their own journey. But it is a really cool and beautiful thing when you could sit down and go through the photo albums or go through the stuff. And, okay, we decide to get rid of this. But here's this family. Here's the history. Here's why I still have this. Here's about
the stories I had. Absolutely.
And to be able to, as a kid or as a friend, take that with you and understand that person so much better and know their history and know the things that drove them and what excited them and the memories of their life. That is so much fun. And to do that by yourself without the person, you're like, why does she still have this? What is the story? You know,
it's exactly.
Like you're wishing for that time back that you could talk because you know there's a story there and you don't get to hear it anymore. And it's a loss. It's a grieving that kind of also creates, you know, not only is it a ton of work, but man, you know, to think about that as one shifts and it's hard, but to think about the positives that you can have family gets together, go through a box of stuff and share.
Absolutely.
You know, one thing that comes up as I'm thinking about this is, so for the people, because I'm one of those people, letting stuff go sometimes is really hard because of those memories. It's like, okay, I don't really need this anymore. So one of the things I've done in the past is take pictures of that thing.
Yep.
And then keep that keepsake pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that memory, so you can kind of go through like that, or you can run into it again or whatever, but it's enough to take space in a hard drive.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Exactly.
But can let it go and let somebody else use it. And I think it's hard because you're afraid you're going to insult the person if they notice it's not there or whatever the case might be, you know? So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I have given that same piece of advice is take a picture of it, you know, take a picture of it. Maybe it's a drawing your child did, you know, when they were in elementary school, and take a picture of it, or actually frame that little mm-hmm. drawing too. And there's a saying that the past is in the past. Let's leave it there too. You know, let's make room to expand ourselves and room to grow. We all love a good story. Absolutely. But let's expand ourselves and clear some of that out too. But for sure, when families are going through things, and in the ideal situation, you know, mom and dad are still in a healthy state and family members come through, and I've been in very agreeable situations where things have been divvied out, so to speak, and everybody was happy. And then I've been in situations where siblings were fighting about, well, who's going to get this from mom and dad, and who's going to get, you know, mom's diamond earring, so to speak.
Right.
And how can we problem solve? And do you pick straws? Do you?
Yeah.
My folks did a lot of that when they were still very healthy. So I came from an environment that a lot of it got sorted through before they passed. I mean, sure, there is stuff to go through. And we were talking about collections of things too. I have my family, my grandfather and grandmother had Red Wing crocks on the farm that they used. Grandpa made wine in the 15-gallon Red Wing crock, and Grandma made sauerkraut and dill pickles, you know, in the 8 and the 10. And so I have those, and those are fun to have. And my dad made some really neat lids for them, some wooden lids, so I can keep stuff in them too.
Oh, nice.
I can hide things in there.
Nice.
Like extra blankets or hats and mittens and things can go in there. Yeah, it is fun to pass on those family heirlooms that mean something. And absolutely.
And sometimes are they going to mean something to the kids? Because sometimes they're not.
Oh, for sure.
You know, sometimes it is the whole, I'm really glad I got to see it and I'm happy to know the story, but I don't ever want that in my house.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, exactly. And that's really where we are right now. The market is flooded with stuff. Mm-hmm. Estate sales and moving sales. Goodwill and Salvation Army are turning stuff down, mm-hmm. which is amazing. It's right. just amazing to me. So we really are a society of, or have been a society of consumers. And now we've got this trend of minimalism and tiny house living.
Right.
And can we live in a 400 square foot apartment? Why? Actually, yes, we can. can you host a 30 people holiday dinner? Probably not. But yeah, we need very little. We come into this world with nothing and we leave with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And we spend decades collecting stuff.
Right.
And we didn't talk about, buying happiness. You know, can you buy happiness in this stuff? Momentarily, yes.
Right.
But the happiness isn't in the stuff. The happiness is in us. It's within us. It's the memories that we have. It's the time that we spend with family and friends. It's not in that new iPhone or the Fitbit or the iWatch and things, you know.
Right.
That's not where the happiness is.
It is funny. I remember being at a party years ago, and so there was a ton of money spent on food and alcohol and whatever. But the funnest time we had was throwing the silly balloon around.
Right.
We had such a blast. It was like the best part of the party, you know. And those little things, again, I think of trying to buy kids happiness. And it's like, that's something we've bought into because it is, because you see that momentary happiness,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
And,
yep.
But it's the, some of those things, you know, I mean, I think of my childhood if you bought me a CD, that was my happiness. And those are still my happinesses. Like, I still am like, oh, I got this from so-and-so, you know? But the people who tap into those, like, that is the core of my happiness, right? Versus the big toys and big, you know, when I was a kid even, you know, it's, then it's, if you're going to tap into that, remember that sometimes the big thing, because it's expensive, isn't the thing that's going to win.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's the connection that you have, and that sometimes those little gifts can mean more. If we're talking about gift giving in December, those little gifts that mean more, because it's the thing that connects and lets that person know that they're seen and heard.
Yeah. Pay attention to that person when you're out there, you know, and thinking about what to give someone. Be very intentional. I mean, what trips their trigger, you know?
Yeah.
What really, you know, pay attention. And that means so much. Again, you know, this season of giving gifts, stay away from those obligatory gifts. let me grab five of these in case somebody drops by and has something for me, I can have something for them.
Right.
When my kids were little, and I tell this too to my clients, you know, they can make things and they can come up with a coupon book too. And I have given coupons. Hey, let's go to lunch, you know, my treat. Let's go to lunch. Give an experience. Give a movie pass even, or a gift certificate to have them get a massage or a manicure or a pedicure. We don't need the stuff, the experience, or come bake cookies with me and then take them home.
Well, and you know, that's another thing too that's kind of interesting. Making consumables
exactly,
for people.
Yes. And you took the words out of my mouth.
And remember who you're giving to. I know, you know, I teach pre-diabetes prevention classes, and I both hear people talking about how many dozens of cookies they make for various things, and how, oh my gosh, there's all these cookies and I have five dozen cookies given to me. I don't want these cookies. I want these cookies, but I don't want these cookies,
right?
You know? So there is the, what can we do for those types of things that are simple, but can be so appreciated that we don't think of. Man, make soup. Well, hey, here, put this in your freezer. And when you need a meal, oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yeah. Yep.
Simplicity. Boom.
Boom. Done. I love it. Push that easy button. Whenever you can.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, it's meaningful. It's consumable. The person appreciates it.
Yeah.
And you can even give a donation in someone's name too. You can ask them, you know, I know you don't need anything right now. Or I can say, you know, I'd rather you just donate. Right. Go to the local woman's shelter or whatever and give them, you know, write them a check or whatever. That would mean more to me than a thing. We touched on the fact that everybody's got the, you know, 24 hours and how we are using it. And people ask me, well, do you teach a class or what are your thoughts on time management? And I say, well, there is no such thing as time management, actually. You can't manage time. Time is time. It's ticking. It's a constant. But what I call it is people management. You can manage the person, not the clock, so to speak. You can time block things in your day, you know, set time aside to do X, Y, Z. That's what I like to call it instead of time management. I mean, there's books and books and books out there about time management.
Right.
And really, it's the person that needs to set the priorities and design their day around their schedule.
Right. And that's an interesting mindset to get into. And again, having help with that, something that you do, can be huge. Because again, sometimes it takes that help to step back.
Right. You know? And when people say they don't have time because of XYZ, a lot of it really is self-inflicted because they have said yes to way too many things. You know, their plate is just overflowing. Their cup overflows. Their plate has turned into a large platter. And we have to learn that we aren't superheroes. You know, we can't do it all. Pick one or two charities or organizations or how you want to spend your evenings and weekends, and yeah, we can't do it all. We like to think we can. And that's another thing too, as I tell folks, you know, delegate when you can. When you asked why, you know, how did you get started? Why are you doing this? You know, why are you helping people? I asked people if they have ever read the Gary Chapman book, you know, The Five Love Languages. Mm-hmm. And acts of service is my love language. You know, that's me. That's how that's in my being. That's my love language. So that's, you know, I'm a doer. I do things for people. Mm-hmm. That's my love language.
And this podcast is, even though we've talked about holiday gifts, which I still think is a valuable thing for us to think about at any time of the year, but this is probably going to come out, you know, right at the beginning of January. And I'm thinking about as we think about goals, we think about our new year, and we kind of are taking that refresh. Most of us step back on some level.
Yeah.
And go, okay, new year. What is this going to look like for me, or what am I going to do, or that kind of thing? And I want your thoughts on that, but I'm thinking of just the mindset around organization and simplification. After the holidays are over, we're kind of in that weird sentimental mood where sometimes we're hanging on to things, but then sometimes we're also in the space of release.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And we're looking at 2018 and saying goodbye to it, you know, soon in a few weeks, and looking at 2018 in the rear view mirror. And for some of us, it may have been a really, really challenging year. And we're going to be damn glad it's January 1st with a clean slate and a clean notebook, so to speak. And new year, new you, I say a lot of times. And to those people that are overwhelmed, you know, give yourself permission to let go. Today is a brand new day. Leave your past in the past. We can start fresh. We can start today. We can start right now. But yeah, a new year, new you. I remember years ago when, is it Gretchen Rubin that put out the Happiness Project? Yeah. And so, there was, she took 12 months. How to find happiness and where does happiness come from, basically? Mm-hmm. And one of those months was decluttering her house, which I found interesting and very, very true. Seriously, Stretch, give yourself permission to let go. It's okay. It's okay. Today's a new day. Mm-hmm. Or it's a new year. Oh my gosh. So another thing that I wanted to talk about was, so this whole career, this whole profession of what's called a professional organizer started in the 1980s. A whole industry, a whole career was started out of the fact that nobody was taking care of stuff anymore. You know, mom's not home. Mom's college educated and she's out in the working world, or dad, or they both are. They both are two career oriented people and they're consuming things. It's the Reagan years. There's two incomes. We're collecting stuff, but nobody's taking. I think of like the Brady Bunch, you know, where's Alice? We all need Alice in our lives.
Yes.
Yeah. So, back in the 80s, this is when this whole thing started. And I think it's fascinating, you know, with the Industrial Revolution and mass production, you know, we just really just became a society of consuming. And think about the container store. There's a whole industry mm-hmm. out there trying to figure out how to organize and store our stuff, which is crazy when you think about it. I mean, it's a multi-million dollar industry out there. And think of all of the storage facilities that we have mm-hmm. and another money trap. I do a lot of public speaking and I'll ask the crowd, you know, who in here's got a storage unit and how long have you had it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's money out the door every month, you know, and in this area, it's like $75 a month. So multiply that times a year, 5 years, a lot of people have had their storage units are for temporary use. And, you know, if you're in transition, they're supposed to be in temporary use. And wow, I mean, just within the last couple of years, the largest facility here in town built on like nearly 300 more units, and they still have a waiting list for different size areas. Right. So
it's hard letting our stuff go. It's a process.
It is.
And I think that's the other thing too, is to let that be that process. But it feels so good when you can do, I mean, I know in my life, it's you take a layer off and then you let it settle and you take another layer off.
Another thing I ask the folks when I do a public speaking gig is, if your house was on fire, what would you grab? Say, all right, shout it out. You know, my dog, my cat, my pocketbook, my jewelry box, or you know, your kids, your pets, right? Your laptop, things like that. And I'll say, well, how about your spouse or your partner? You know, they must be on their own. Or maybe they ran out before you.
Right.
But really, you know, think about those things that you would grab. And the rest maybe goes up into flames. Or, you know, we had a flood here a few years ago. Was that 2012, 2013? You know?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people lost a lot in mm-hmm. those floods. Think about the stuff and what's important. Another thing I want to touch on is, too, environmentally, you know, the less that we consume, the less that we have, we are definitely going to leave a smaller carbon footprint, too,
right.
for the next generation to deal with.
Well, and I think of sometimes when you look at, like, party favors in the party
right.
stores. And
exactly.
Like, not, where does any of this end up in anywhere useful? Are they really fun? Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and be mindful when you're out purchasing things. Look at what goes into the packaging of some of the items that we purchase. And where was that thing made? And who made it? And in what country was it made? And were there good working clean environments to work in? And it's a ripple effect. It truly
yeah.
is. We need
yeah.
to really be intentional about our purchases. I did a talk holiday season back in 2015, and I held up the Black Friday newspaper, and oh my gosh, Judy, it was inches thick of all of the holiday ads, you know,
wow.
to purchase. And
right.
wow, it's like, you know, do we really, I mean, look at what this has come to. It's ridiculous. It's
yeah.
absolutely ridiculous. I asked people too, you know, do you own your stuff or does your stuff own you?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yep.
But I just think so much of what you do is so much bigger than it. There's so much more. I mean, I think it's surprising to like how much you offer. So I think that's why, again, that's part of why we're here.
Oh, thank you.
So
I feel like I've got a message to share and a gift, so to speak. I mean, it's hard to toot your own horn, you know?
I know exactly what you mean.
It's hard to toot your... I toot many people's horns
right.
all day long.
Well, and it's not that you're tooting. It's just about you're bringing the excitement of this is what this can result in, and I want you to have this experience. And you happen to have the skills to bring that to people and help them do it and help them facilitate their own stuff. You know, like a therapist or a coach, it's helping draw the stuff out, right? And you come along and maybe you're bringing a whole different filing concept. I mean, my gosh, I mean, I know from being this person and from having this done to me, if somebody goes, oh, well, you know what you might do in this situation? You might do this. Oh, well, that's freaking logical. I hadn't thought of that. That's
right.
going to make my life so much better.
Yeah.
You know, those little things
mm-hmm.
are so big.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're coming at it from this more whole vision perspective and all this experience and all these things that you've seen other people do or you've helped them do, ideas, and you're able to bring that to a table. And so it's not just one idea of helping somebody organize. You've got this whole career of ideas in your head that you've seen. And so if we're bringing that to somebody who may be a little bit insecure or unsure about how this is going to go and having somebody in their space and looking at their stuff.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And yeah, the whole non-judgmental, boy, oh boy, have I seen it all, really. And I tell people at the get-go, please don't straighten up before I come over. Don't clean up, you know, anything. Again, give yourself permission to just let me come in and help. You know, that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't stress that any more than please, just it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to help you through this. We can tackle it together. And when you come home at the end of the day, you know, you want to walk in to the antidote to the stress that you've had at maybe at your workplace. Your home should not be the stressor. Mm-hmm. You should be able to walk home and, oh, this is my safe haven. This is where I feel good.
Right.
This is where I can just relax. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a friend of mine has that figured out, and she creates wherever she is as, you know, as best as she can. But is that the whole, I want my home to be that stress relieving place.
Yeah.
And that's like my own personal goal, is because I don't have that.
Right.
I don't have that in my apartment, and I want that because I don't know what that's like to come home and sit on a comfy couch and be,
right.
You know, so.
And whether or not you want this in the podcast, we'll find out. So I've had a conversation about bedrooms.
Mm.
And what belongs in a bedroom and what doesn't belong in a bedroom. You know, people have TVs in their bedroom. People have filing cabinets, and they sometimes sit in bed with their laptop, you know. And a bedroom is for sleeping and to be intimate with your partner. And that's it. You know, the rest should not be there. You know, the papers, the clutter. I have an Instagram post and a Facebook post of two photos, you know, one of a nice, lovely, inviting bedroom. And then the other is just looks like, you know, it's just a pigsty. And the caption I wrote underneath was, where would you rather? And I'll just leave it at that. So,
right?
Yeah. So relationships suffer. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's one of those things we don't so much think about it. It's not to say you have to spend a ton of money to make things nice, but just what can you do with the space you have? I think that that's also a challenge for people too. It is how to figure out how to work with the space that they have. I know that's one of my challenges, you know,
right.
And that is
right.
Where, yeah, having more of the space for the stuff, figuring out here's what I need. If you look at my bedside table, it's scary, you know, but it is. I haven't fully figured that out. Well, how can I have these things that I really do kind of need in this space? And they are helpful here. They're going to land here.
Yeah. Yep.
And how can I make this be the best and not feel like a cluttered mess, but also just be in that space?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Organized and feels friendly. You know, in whatever space you do have. So,
well, and when people call me, there's a lot of different reasons that they'll call me. If it's a life transition, maybe, you know, they've got some physical issues and they can't organize their home because of physical issues. You know, mm-hmm. They are in a wheelchair now, or they're recovering from an accident, or they lost their partner. Lots of different reasons people give me a call. And so that's more of the questions over the phone. You know, what are your barriers and what's going on? I usually say, well, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. There's a lot of reasons why somebody is disorganized. It's not just because they don't know how to put like things together. There's a lot behind it, a lot of mental and physical aspects to it.
Kim, talk maybe a little bit about what is behind our disorganization?
Sure. You know, how did they get there? How did they get to that spot? And personally, when I walk in, well, sometimes we cover it over the phone too. I'm just thinking about my clients first before I get into all of the different aspects and reasons. A lot of times I don't really find out the big picture too until I start working with the person, what's going on. Or maybe, you know, I've asked the right questions and they've answered it in our initial phone consult. But boy, Judy, it could be anything as simple as, you know, I grew up in a messy household and I didn't ever really learn. I wasn't taught those organizational skills. It could be a mental disorder as well. It could be mental health issues like depression and anxiety. There's, you know, an avoidance disorder. There's OCD, which a lot of the hoarding situations are an obsessive compulsive person in their choices that they make. So it's a compulsive purchasing, compulsive consuming, so to speak. And not letting go of any of it, you know, whether it's something that we would find of no or little value, something that we might even call garbage would be something that this person is collecting and hoarding because they find significance in it. It could be family dynamics as well, you know, who's in charge of things. It could be life changes and transitions. Maybe the death or, a loss of a loved one can just pull the rug out from under somebody's feet. And a new baby, maybe there was a divorce. Someone inherited, you know, mom or dad's or grandma's or someone's possessions, and now they've got a storage unit and a house full of this other person's stuff. And so that's situational. It could even be a belief of, you know, I don't want to make the wrong decision, so I'm going to hold on to this. Or there might be a regret, you know, if I let this go, you mm-hmm. know, I don't want to make that wrong decision. Procrastination, you know, lack of decision making, putting things off, and even having difficulty making a decision. We talked about ADD and the distraction, you know, somebody flipping from one task to the next. That has an effect. Aging issues, too. There could be physical, you know, mobility. Aging, you know, they can't get around like they used to. And so, you know, things aren't carried to where they should be. You know, the lifting and the schlepping doesn't happen. And memory, too, comes with age as well. So you forget where things are, too, and you forget addiction. And not just drug and alcohol addiction, but like we talked about, like the compulsive purchasing. You know, that's an addiction. You know, running to the store and purchasing. That's a high for mm-hmm. some folks, for sure. And choices. A lot of it can be self-inflicted. You know, we did purchase too much and now we're stuck with it, or we scheduled too much. We have too much on our schedule. Sentimental reasons too, and so there's an emotional attachment to things. Yeah, and like I first started, you know, it really isn't a system in place. So there isn't a template. There isn't a dresser to put your clothes in, or there aren't bookshelves to put your books on, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're limited by your space all of a sudden. You went through a divorce and now you can only afford
A small apartment,
yeah. I'm just trying to think. A studio apartment,
oh, right.
That's the word I was
yeah.
trying to find. You can only afford that. And, you know, where am I going to put everything? And I have all this stuff and I'm, you know, but this isn't my be-all, end-all. So where are things going to live until I can move on?
Right.
But there is a tie between clutter and disorganization can be an indicator of underlying psychological issues. So the person isn't just lazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. There can be so much else going on in their life.
It's funny because I'm thinking of the whole making the wrong decision piece. And I was went to Mary Poppins, the movie, yesterday. And I don't know if you've seen the new Mary Poppins.
I haven't. I want to, though.
The thing that makes me laugh, because this is what happens, you get rid of something, you make the decision to get rid of something, and then 3 days later, you...
and somebody asks you
exactly.
to borrow that, or so you
exactly.
can find someone that could use that, yeah.
Yep, or that information was that, oh yep, that's exactly where that was.
Right.
In the movie, they go to throw away the old kite. And... the old kite becomes very important in the story.
Oh, I love that.
So it's like, see, if Dad would have gotten rid of that kite, what would have happened?
Right. Another thing I forgot is perfectionism too. So type A personalities, they can, if it's not going to be perfect, I'm not going to do it. So they don't do it because they want it to be perfect. So that is a barrier. Perfectionism,
right.
Yeah.
You don't want to make the wrong
mm-hmm.
decision in how you even organize.
Right, or they're spending too much time trying to make it perfect. Lots of reasons.
Yeah.
Factors, that's for sure.
A lot going into what might cause somebody to be disorganized, and sometimes figuring out that underlying reason for ourselves, or being supportive and helping somebody else figure that out can be helpful too.
Right, and that's my role is to help them. I just recently switched problem solving to solution finding. You know, I don't want the person to focus on the problem. Let's focus on the solution instead. So let's not identify it as a problem. Let's, okay, give yourself permission. Let's work on the solution to this.
I like that. The language can be very, very helpful.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, like, you're a problem child.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we've touched on this a little bit for sure, but thinking about the benefits, what are the benefits? What do we gain from being more organized?
Do you want me to touch more on the costs of disorganization first?
Yeah, that may seem like a natural segue. Yeah.
Okay. So, right, I know, and we touched on a handful, and we may be repeating ourselves, but we'll hit them again. Everyone wants to be efficient, right? And everyone wants to be productive. So those are the first things that you lose. You lose productivity. Visual clutter also creates mental clutter. So you can't think clearly when your surroundings are in disarray. So it's hard to relax. You can't find things. You're frustrated. Maybe at work, you know, you can't find somebody's contact information for your boss, or you lost your notes from a meeting and you're heading to the next meeting. So your productivity is affected at work, and even financially. So at your workplace, you're not only wasting your time, you're wasting your boss's and the company's time. You did a calculation. Let's say somebody makes $25 an hour. And they spend 15 minutes a day, you know, looking for things. Well, that's $6.25 that day. And if it's per week, it's $43.75. But in a year, that's over $2,000 that they're wasting. Late fees of credit cards. Maybe you're late with your mortgage payment, and that will affect your credit score. You don't want that for sure. Maybe there's an overdraft fee in your bank account. And boy, can those... Those can stack up if you're not paying attention, right. For sure, you know. And if you lose something, you're going to buy another one and buy multiples or buy duplicates. The emotional costs of disorganization, too. There's frustration, there's blame, resentment. You know, it brings on sadness. You feel bad about yourself. There could be even anger in between, you know, relationships. So relationships suffer with the family dynamics and partners. Someone's blaming someone for being late or can't find such and such, or we can never get out the door on time. And the physical aspects of being disorganized, there's panic attack, you know, I can't find my credit card or my wallet or, you know, whatever that thing is. You know, there's your heart races and there's anxiety and overwhelmed again and depressed. You're embarrassed. Maybe you can't have anybody come over into your office space too. Your desk is a mess. So it's like, no, can't come in. You keep the door shut. Knock, please, before entering. Yeah, so those are the costs, all, you know, from financial to physical, emotional, health. So, right. So yeah. The benefits, the yay, the hoorays of having less and of being organized and having things in order. Definitely the health benefits. You've got more energy, right? Because you're not wasting your time, you're not frustrated, you're not angry, you're not in a depressed or overwhelmed state, you've got more energy.
Right, less stress eating at your energies.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Even your eating and sleeping habits are affected by this. So in the kitchen, if you're disorganized, you're not, or even if it's a dirty, messy kitchen, what are you going to do? Do you want to make dinner in that setting? You're going to call and order a pizza. You're going to push the easy button there, you know, and eat out or just get up and go because you don't want to deal with the mess. Yeah, so when we have, let's say, a meal plan in place and a grocery list and we know what's in the pantry, so we're going to eat healthier too. Less stress, obviously, reduction of stress, and that will ultimately, just read something, you know, will reduce the risk of a heart attack. I mean, it's that serious. And we're going to be happier. We're going to be more productive. We're going to be more efficient. We're going to have more time. We're going to have more money. Who doesn't want more time and money? Time and money. We want them.
Yes, definitely.
We want them.
They're very helpful. Both of them. Very helpful.
More hours in the day and more money in our bank account. So, yeah. So, and there's room to breathe. You've got a clear mind. You're at peace. There's room to breathe, and there's room to expand who you are too. So everything has a home, and you know exactly where it is. You know where to find it and where to put it away when you're done with whatever that is. And there's less stuff to maintain and worry about. Yeah, more money, because we didn't lose that whatever, and we're not running out to go purchase another one.
Right.
And we're leaving a smaller carbon footprint. I think we did talk about mm-hmm. that as well on our environment. So
yeah, but definitely a benefit to all of us.
Yeah.
And a lot of these things are not the immediate things. They're the consistent sort of either drain or improvement that we have sort of over time. Well, of course, when you do get a massive organization that happens in systems that work, that is an insty, oh my gosh, this is awesome feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to remember how that feels when our desk is clear, and how that feels when our bedroom is straight, and how that feels when we can walk home at the end of the day and not walk into a mess. You know, we've had a stressful day at work. How do we want to feel when we get home, basically?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. We want to be at peace, and home should be the sanctuary, not another stressor in your life.
Right. When you open the door and you're like, oh, I want to be.
I'm home.
This is shoo.
Exactly.
That is an amazing and beautiful thing to search for.
Yes.
Attain.
Let's all live simply.
I want to, and this is kind of putting you in the spot. So
nope, that's right.
I'm thinking if you have a couple like killer tips that you just want to dive into.
Ah, killer tips.
I like.
Well, a blanket nugget, I guess, is when a person thinks about decluttering, they're thinking about having to let go of a lot of things. But I want that person to really focus on what they're keeping and what they're going to hang on to, rather than focus on what they're letting go of. So take into those small spaces only the things that you use and love and enhance your life. That's my blanket statement. Mm-hmm. Tidbits, little nuggets about small spaces. Go up, use the wall space as far as organizational systems. Use shelves as much as you can, hooks to hang things on if you're in a small office or a small studio apartment, maybe. But if somebody is like, where do I start? And I know we talked about this a little earlier. You can start. I love the instant gratification of just, you know, clearing off your desk into a box, or clearing off, you know, whatever flat surface is cluttered at the moment. If it's the kitchen counter, if it's the dining room table, clear it off so you've got that instant gratification. Or dump out that junk drawer. Just start there. Dump it out and only put back what's necessary.
And then, and maybe categorize the rest that you have to keep for whatever reason, or obviously get rid of things that really don't serve you.
And if you're putting things away, label it. Please mark on the box, you know, what's in the box and what's in the bin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just in, for instance, if a person is moving, okay, this goes into the kitchen, or this is a kitchen box. Well, specifically what's in that box. You know, so you're not searching for, well, where's the silverware? We need to unpack that first. But right, labeling helps tremendously. Right away, boom, I know what's in that bin, or I know what's in that drawer, I know what's in that file. Labeling is huge, too, for just that instant recognition.
Right.
And little things, too, that you can start with is just simply getting up and making your bed right away. Just the simple act of making that a habit every day.
It's weird that it does.
It starts your day off. It does. It starts your day off on a high note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't that way as a kid, but as an adult, I am much more, even if it's not a perfectly made, but if it's just generally made,
exactly.
It's like so much better.
Yes. And so that just sets the tone then for the rest of your day, quite honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Should we dive into the prize piece?
Yay!
Okay. So you are offering a very cool thing for folks who are listening to this podcast and sharing the podcast and your information. So talk about what that looks like.
Sure. I love spreading the word. I love spreading this message of living simply. And I want to give folks a prize, because who doesn't want a prize?
Right.
You know, who doesn't want a freebie? I want that. So on my Facebook page, after Judy shares the podcast to my page, if folks were to go ahead and, you know, like the page, the Live Simply with Kim Facebook page, and then go ahead and share that podcast and tag two friends. And then I'll write everybody's name down and throw it in a hat, so to speak, and pull one out at random. And I've got a $100 Visa card for that person. So that'll be fun to see the ripple effect of that.
So if somebody does want to get a hold of you for big project, small project, a little bit of organizational therapy.
Right.
where do they find you? And as well as your contact information, like you've been talking about, you do Facebook posts and things like that.
Yeah, Facebook live videos. I've called the series Simply Saturday, Simply Sunday, you know, depending on which day of the weekend I get, I make the time for it. So those are fun. People can find me on Instagram. I don't do a lot of Twitter anymore. I am on LinkedIn, but livesimplywithkim.com is my website.
And your phone number and all of that fun stuff is on there. And do you want to say your phone number?
Oh, sure. I can say my phone number. Area code 218-213-8071. And I also, what I've recently started within this last year too, Judy, we didn't touch on this, is over the phone and virtual organizing for people. I have a client in International Falls. I had a client in California, in Arizona, and that's been a lot of fun for me, out in Washington, D.C. area. So that's been fun. People can send me video. We can get on Facebook chat. They'll show me video or send me photos over even a text photo or email photos, and we'll come up with a plan. You know, it's for those folks that are the do-it-yourselfers, you know, and they just need a little bit of guideline, a little bit of accountability.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was actually going to be my question of what if somebody doesn't, they're not in Duluth. Can
right.
they still benefit from
they can.
What you offer?
They can. Right. They can. I even flew somewhere to help somebody out too, because they wanted me, and they wanted me for like a 4-day weekend, and we got it done. It was
How
a lot of fun.
Cool. So there you go. If you're really nervous about something in your own hometown, fly Kim out. Get her
right.
there, take care of it. She leaves back in your totally different state.
Incognito.
And, you know, right? Well, I know for some people, this is a big deal.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the discomfort of having somebody either embarrassed, whether they need to be or not. It's not even about that, but that's how they feel, right?
Yeah, and absolutely.
So if it takes that, well, rock on.
I know. And a lot of people ask, you know, well, I really would like to see some before and after pictures. And I say, well, I've got a handful, but quite honestly, people are embarrassed, and they think that, oh, somebody's going to recognize, you know, something in the background. And it is intimate what I do. Right. So my before and afters are more like a garage, or let's say a kitchen pantry, you know, something that's not
super invasive.
It's invasive and intimate into their lives. They don't want their bedroom mess all over Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. That is great to know. I appreciate not only your time and sharing what you're doing, because this is a huge piece of health and wellness, and that's why
indeed.
I'm here to share. But I also appreciate all of the tips, you know, that you're giving too. I think that, you know, people have from this conversation, they have some things to walk away with.
Yeah, they got a few nuggets.
You know, yeah. And even if it's thinking through your own stuff, like you're saying, what's the thing that's driving you the most crazy? You know, starting there.
Yeah.
And sitting with that a little bit, because sometimes that can even help you understand your own stuff a little bit. And they might have some of their projects done by the time they get to you.
Right, exactly.
Which is, you know, great for them.
And I tell people too, you know, it even if it's very scary, you know, set your timer for 15 minutes and just open up that first box or whatever. Right. And when the timer goes off, if you're still motivated to keep going, you know, set it again.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, and that's hard. And sometimes you need a babysitter.
Yeah. And I'm happy
totally
to be that
it.
Person,
right.
the handholder and the cheerleader for
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you. This has been fun. I appreciate
Thank you. It. Thank you so much. Very fun.
All right. Lots of really great ideas and thought-provoking things going on there in that conversation. I hope you enjoyed it and got some good stuff for yourself. You can find Kim on Facebook at Live Simply with Kim. And if you are not a Facebook person and want to check out her website, livesimplywithkim.com is where you find her there. If you're listening to the podcast and you didn't find it from Facebook, definitely go check out her Facebook page too. Definitely go check out her Facebook page and get yourself in on the $100 gift card prize drawing. Thank you so much, Kim, for doing such a fantastic and generous giveaway. That's pretty awesome. Nice way to start out the new year. You might recall at the beginning of the show that I wanted to talk about the Death Cafe that I have coming up. I'm co-hosting it with Sarah Seidelman, who has been a past guest on the podcast as well. And we are having it January 24th, which is a Thursday. It is happening from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, and it's at the Zeitgeist Arts Cafe, the mezzanine level, and the address there is 22 East Superior Street. You definitely do not need to RSVP, but it would be helpful just so we know how many people are coming. So if you are on Facebook and you would like to express interest or read more about it, you can search for Death Cafe, Duluth, Minnesota, and it should pop up there for you. So if you're listening to this and going, what in the world is this Death Cafe thing about? Let me tell you. So I'm actually just going to read from the deathcafe.com website in their description, because this is basically what we're looking to create. So the website says, at a Death Cafe, people, often strangers, gather to eat cake, drink tea, and discuss death. Our objective is to increase awareness of death with a view of helping people make the most of their infinite lives. Full disclosure, I don't actually know if the Zeitgeist serves cake. A lot of times these events are held at coffee shops, and the whole point is to everybody to get together, have a little food and drink, and sit around and chat. So for what Sarah and I have planned, we're going to get together, introduce ourselves a little bit, and then open the door to a conversation with some various questions and conversation starters that people can participate in as much or little as they feel comfortable. So if you're interested or curious, definitely check out the event on Facebook. Don't hesitate to private message me. You'll find my information on there, or Sarah's information on there, or connect up with me through the Wellness Renaissance page on Facebook. Or you can email me for sure at judy@wellnessren.com. So J-U-D-Y at wellnessren.com. And if you are listening and you're not in or around Duluth, Minnesota, but you're some other place in the country or the world, you can look at the deathcafe.com website. You can find them happening in many, many places. I'm super excited. I've got some great messages from some other people who are super excited, and it's going to be great co-hosting the event with Sarah too. So I think it's going to be a really good time, and I hope you join us. On that note, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to this episode and to the podcast. Please check out the other episodes. I appreciate your help so much in supporting the podcast by sharing the information with anybody who you know might be interested, who is interested in health and wellness stuff. That helps build the community of people who are aware, people who get the information and can be helped by it. And that is definitely the goal. If you like the show and you like the work that we're doing, please consider becoming part of our support community through Patreon. You can go to the website, wellnessrenpodcast.com, and on the left, you're going to see the big red button to become a patron. And you can do that as little as $1 a month. It's super easy. It's very similar to PayPal, that kind of platform. And thank you so much for those who have jumped on board. We really sincerely do appreciate your support so very much. Don't forget to join our email list, where we will just send out an email when we have a new episode that lets you know what the episode is and gives you a link, gets you right to it. Thank you so much for sharing your time and for listening, and join us next week. Until then, may you continue to find pieces that fit wonderfully into your health and wellness puzzle. Take care.